Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Peace on earth. That's a phrase that we hear a lot at this time of year. It's there in the Christmas carols. It's on some Christmas cards, if you can find religious ones these days. We may hear it in the old films. And it's something which I believe that the majority of people want. They want peace on earth. But what does it mean? What do people mean when they talk about peace on earth? I suppose for many people, they're just thinking about the end of wars. And that would be a really good thing. If we think about the number of wars that our country's been embroiled in over the last 10 or 20 years, it would be good for there to be peace. And then we look at all the wars going on around the world. So much pain, so much suffering. Peace on earth, an end to all wars, would certainly be wonderful. However, I think when we as Christians talk about peace on earth, we're thinking of something even better than the end of hostilities. And I think most people, when they talk about peace on earth at Christmas, they're going a little bit deeper. They're thinking about restored relationships, families coming together to enjoy each other's company, an end to crime, a place where things are fair, where everyone is treated in a way that's honourable and good, where people have a personal sense of wholeness and completeness, a time when you don't have to worry about the credit card bill arriving or those troublesome neighbours, a time of peace, harmony, wholeness, contentment and happiness, when we have everything and everyone we need around us in peace. This is the sort of peace that people long for all year round, because we know that people flourish in this kind of loving, carefree environment. It's the sort of peace that we want, isn't it? Where we know that we are safe, where that we are secure, and that we are loved and cared for. This is what we want. But we struggle with it, don't we? Time and time again, we cannot maintain it even in our own homes. How many families are broken apart by arguments, especially at Christmas? This morning on the radio, they had someone from the Samaritans talking, and that person was saying about the tens of thousands of phone calls that the Samaritans receive on Christmas Day. Peace on earth, we all want it, but it's very elusive. Even in our own lives. How many nights are spent awake, staring at the ceiling, wondering how you're going to make ends meet when that unexpected bill arrives? Clearly, we are a long way from peace on earth. So what is our problem? Why can't we just sort this out? Well, the answer is quite simple, really. Our problem is that we don't really understand the true extent and nature of the problem. But on the positive, God, who knows all things, knows exactly what is going on. And he knows why we cannot find that peace on earth, which everyone is looking for when we are left to our own devices. The problem is that every person, when they are born into something called the dominion or the kingdom of darkness. And to be part of the dominion of darkness means that you are opposed to the other side, which is the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. There's no sitting on the fence here. You are either in or out. It is black or white. There are only two places to be. And if you are in the dominion of darkness, you are, according to Romans 8, verses 7 and 8, you are people who have minds that are hostile or are at war with God, minds which cannot please him. This is the source of all the warfare in the world, all the strife we experience in our relationships with one another, when people exploit one another, the lack of peace in the world. All flows back to the fact that each person, when they're born, is at war with God. And this spiritual attitude flows over in our attitudes towards other people, and even the way that we treat ourselves. In contrast to this, God's way is for us to love our neighbours, to care for others, and to inconvenience ourselves so that other people may be blessed and built up and cared for. But the attitude of the person under the dominion of darkness is a love for themselves. They seek what is best for themselves and maybe for their families as well, but they don't really care about how their attitudes affect other people. And we see this more and more in our society. As acceptable behaviour moves away from Christian values, so we will see more and more people who are clearly and blatantly out for themselves, living and behaving under the dominion of darkness. Their war with the God of love is shown in the way they treat other people. People who live like this are trapped in a downward spiral which they cannot break away from themselves. They need help. They need rescuing. And this is where our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ steps in. He is the one who has redeemed us, the one whom God has used to rescue us and forgive us of our sins. And when we are forgiven of our sins, it means that we are no longer at war with God. We are at peace with God, all because Christ has redeemed us. Now, redemption is one of those terms that Christians throw around and use a lot, but sometimes they don't fully understand it. To redeem means to buy back something that belongs to you. And the best example of that in our society is one of those shops that will exchange a valuable item that you've got for a sum of money, and then you've got a certain amount of time to go back to the shop and buy the item back. Otherwise, the shop will sell it. And when you're doing that, buying back something which was yours, that's when you are redeeming something. Which leads us to the question, why is Christ able to redeem us? The simple answer is that Christ is able to redeem us because we belong to him. This is what the next few verses in this passage clearly lay out. We read that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation, for in him all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him. So he is the creator. And when you make something, it belongs to you. God made this universe. God made all the creation around us. God made, through the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every person. Christ has ownership over all people. Whether they ignore him or whether they accept him as saviour, Christ owns all people. And that means he is in the position to be able to redeem people who have turned away from him. As we ponder these verses, we see that Christ is the firstborn over creation, which does not mean that he was the first person made, but rather it's to do with status. He is the preeminent one. He is of first importance. He is the one in first rank, in pole position, and he is the image of the invisible God. Today, lots of people doubt that God exists because they cannot see him. But that does not mean that there is no evidence for his existence. In this wonderful world of nature that surrounds us, we see God's fingerprints everywhere that we look if we've got eyes to see. We see his power. We see his wisdom. We see his eye for beauty. We see the incredible diversity that's there in creation. We can learn a lot about God from the natural world. But through Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, we learn what God is really like. We see his love. We see his compassion. We see his care. And we learn what God is like as a person in the life of our Lord and Saviour. It's a bit like this. You may be someone who watches a lot of TV and there's a particular star or celebrity that you follow and you see them on TV all the time and maybe you know all sorts of facts about them. But that's completely different to meeting up with them and sitting down for a brew and a natter, isn't it? You get to know a lot more when you meet someone face to face. And when we meet Jesus, we are meeting God face to face, finding out more about him than anything that we could learn from the natural world. Christ reveals the invisible God to those who trust in him. And because Christ is the second member of the Trinity, head over all creation, then it's no surprise that he has authority over all things, both physical and spiritual. He is the man in charge. He is the glue that holds the cosmos together. And the perfect man to bring that elusive peace on earth. This is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. He was fully God and fully man, and therefore able to be that bridge that restores us back to God. And as the one who created us, he is the only one who could redeem us. He is the one who is able to buy us back, to rescue us, to redeem us from that dominion of darkness. And not just us. We see that he is supreme over all of creation. He is the head of the church, the group of people who fully trust in him. All of the fullness of God is found in him, which means he is worthy of all of our worship. In fact, in John 5:23, we're told that it's impossible to worship and honour God unless you give Jesus Christ exactly the same honour as you give to the Father God. Through Christ, God will reconcile to himself humanity. It's not what it says. It says all things, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. There it is, the way that God is going to bring peace back to the universe he has created. Through Jesus and his shed blood, he has reconciled all things to himself. Things that are physical, material, the creation around us, things that are spiritual. All things are reconciled to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood will finally bring peace. It will bring that shalom, the old Jewish word for peace, which has got that sense of wholeness and well-being, what people are really yearning for. It will bring peace to all those people who trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. While on the other hand, those that remain at war with God, those that remain within the dominion of darkness, there will be no place for them in the land of peace, which will be populated solely by people who are fully forgiven and reconciled with God, their Maker. We see that a time is coming when all things will be at peace. And this goes back to what happened when Adam and Eve fell. When Adam and Eve fell, we see that all of creation was corrupted and changed because God cursed them because of their sin. When Christ has come and died on the cross, we see that all things are going to be reconciled to him. This is why we look forward to a new heavens and a new earth, which will be a restoration to what was originally lost. Christ's blood, it saves people from their sins, and when he returns, the world will be restored back to what it should be. All of creation, whether visible or invisible, will be put back to what God originally intended. This is why when we talk about Christ's return, we're talking about a new heaven and a new earth, when he will make everything new, and then and only then will there truly be peace on earth. For us today, we are still waiting for this peace to come in all of its fullness. As Christians, when we trust in Jesus, when we put our faith in him and acknowledge we cannot save ourselves, then we are forgiven, we are justified, acquitted of our sin, and we do enjoy peace with God. And this brings for us personally a sense of forgiveness. It brings freedom from the controlling power of darkness and sin. It brings help in every situation, and we have the joy of serving the Lord and being part of the church. But at the same time, we're still living in a world that is waiting for the return of Christ, that is waiting for peace on earth. And that means we find ourselves going on this journey through this dark and difficult life. At times it can be tough. At times we may even be targeted by those still living lives of darkness, simply because we shine light on the situation and reveal how bad they really are. At other times we find ourselves facing difficulties and trials. God allows these things to happen to strengthen our faith and to build us up. This is why we go through these times of difficulty, when everything seems to be going wrong, because we're flexing our muscles, we're building our faith. And when you've come through a time of difficulty, you find that your faith is so much stronger. Christians are people who have got this peace with God and much better relationships with other people, especially within the church. We are also a people who know where we are going. And if we die before Jesus returns, then our souls will go to be with him in heaven, and then when he returns, we will come down with him to enjoy the new heavens and the new earth. We are 100% guaranteed to enjoy this peace on earth. We long for it in the future, and it gives us hope for today. As we contemplate all this, it should be clear to us that we have been saved because of what God has done. We were in deep trouble. We could not rescue ourselves. So God did all of the doing and brought us into a place of forgiveness and safety. God provided his Son to clear the debt of our sin by his blood. And because he's done this great act of love for us, we should be living lives filled with gratitude, and we should be making sure that we seek to always worship Jesus. In so many ways, though, we don't live up to this standard. We find ourselves living lives of distraction, where Jesus is pushed into second place, despite all the things that he has done. We need to be people who remember what Christ has done for us. We should be spending time thinking about what it meant for him to step down from the glory of heaven and to be born in that stable. And we should be spending time thinking about how he hung on that cross because of the things that you and I have done wrong. And think about how the love of God pays the price which we could not pay ourselves. Then we should be remembering how we should be living thankful lives that seek to serve the one who loves us, died for us, and is now seated at the Father's right hand with all glory, power, and authority. We should be living lives of worship, witness, and service for our Lord and Saviour. Maybe that should be our New Year's resolution. And this morning, if you are someone who has not yet accepted the peace that God offers, then, whether you accept it or not, you are someone who is still living in that dominion of darkness. You are someone who is still living at war with the God who made you. And if God calls you to himself and you die today, then you would have no hope. You would stand before God as his enemy and you would be completely powerless. You would be held accountable for everything you have ever done wrong. Even the things that you've forgotten about, God remembers all the things. But don't go home like this. Jesus has said that he will accept all that come to him. And we know that God is holding off. He is delaying the day of judgment so that more and more people can find forgiveness and peace with God through Jesus Christ. If you want to experience peace on earth, then you need to find peace with God through Jesus Christ. So turn to him today. Amen. Let's just pray and start to prepare our hearts for the breaking of bread. Father God, we do just thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his blood that was shed on that cross. We thank you, dear Lord, for all of the good things that you have done. And we do just pray that you help us to prepare our hearts now to break bread together. Help us to remember all that Christ has done. And we do just want to pray, dear Lord, that as we remember his death on the cross, that you will work in our hearts so that we can understand more about the love that you have given us. We can understand more about how his blood will bring peace on earth. And if there are any here this morning who have not yet made that commitment, we do just pray that you will work in their hearts and help them to see who Jesus really is. Amen.